kitab. Through Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that recite which has been revealed to you from the kitab. So yeah, one of the rights of the Quran al-Kareem is to recite the Quran al-Kareem. And like Qari Amir Hassan sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, who Hazrat always quotes and says, that what is Islah? Islah is not something out of this world. Islah is to do the basics. For example, a person never read Yasin Sharif, then recite Yasin Sharif. A person never read Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then read Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is something very easy, that a person should recite the Quran al-Kareem. And the second one is وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ, that a person should establish salah. Why? إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that salah, that it prevents from shamelessness and evil. So yeah, a person should understand, many a person asks questions, that certain person is a five time namazi, how come he's doing this, how come he's doing that, he's involved in haram, etc. So first and foremost, each person should understand. A similar question was put to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding a person who used to steal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him, that inshallah his salah will prevent him from doing such actions. Ya, a person should understand that Allah did not tell us to read salah, sallu salah. Allah mentioned that establish salah. So there is a great connection between the two. When a person establishes salah, the etiquette of salah, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in him. When he has a consciousness in his salah, he knows that he's standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in salah, a person does not involve himself in evil, in guna, etc. So inshallah, that salah will have an effect on him. Like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that those people in the masajid, wallahu min waraihim, Allah is looking after them outside the masjid as well. So similarly, those people who are in salah, by protecting the salah, that salah will be a means of them protecting them outside salah from evil. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even mentioned, if such a salah is not performed according to his etiquette, etc., then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that la salata la. This is not regarded as a salah, that it doesn't prevent a person from doing wrong. Then a person also should have introspection with regards to his salah, whether he's performing salah properly, whether it is any flaws, etc. Haji Naqudah sahab Dhamul Barakatuh says that many a time a person also asks the same question, how come people are performing so much of gunas? How come people are involved in so much of wrong, yet they are performing salam? So he said one of the main reasons also is person is not making intention. If a person has come for salah and he makes one intention, like there are so many intentions a person can make. Though Allah, I'm reading salah because the barakat of salah, that I be stopped from being wrong. So a person has that intention, inshallah, this person, Allah will give him the tawfiq of staying away from gunas. Just like engineer Abdul Mannan sahab, Dawud Barakatuh, imagine he is from Pakistan and he's the engineer of the haram. Allah gave him so much of respect. For over 30 years, he's the engineer of the haram. And many things a person can learn from him. Recently he came and he, in an informal majlis, he informed us that one person came to a Hindu physiotherapist and he was complaining of back pains and bones, etc. So imagine this Hindu is telling him that it seems as though you're not performing your salah. So this person said, no, I am performing your salah. Then this Hindu tells him that if you are performing your salah, go back to your ulama and find out whether you're performing your salah according to the sunnah. Because he said, if you perform your salah according to his research, if you perform your salah according to the sunnah of Rabbi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will not have all these problems. So Allah give us a tawfiq of performing such a salah. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. After Allah mentions, so yeah, also after salah, this zikr is also very important. Aqim is salat li dhikri. Allah mentions establish salah for my remembrance. Someone came and asked Salman radiallahu anhu that which is one of the greatest ibadat. He said, haven't you read the Quran? Allah mentioned, wala dhikrullahi akbar. The most exalted ibadat in the presence of Allah is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Qatada rahmatullahi mentioned, la shay'a akbaru min dhikrillah. There is nothing more great than the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so easy. Person can, while he's standing, lying down, sitting, or any position, a person can make the zikr of Allah. He doesn't have to be in wuzu, etc. That all the time a person can make in zikr of Allah, such zikr, it will remove all the evils from a person. And it is a cleanliness also, that it is a siqala, it is a means of cleanliness also, of gunas, etc. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the people of Ahlul Jannah, لا يتحسر Ahlul Jannah إلا ساعة, that the people of Jannah, even after entering Jannah, they will not regret over anything except those moments which were not made valuable when it came to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the bandas, يا عبادي الذين آمنوا, O people of Iman, إن أرضي واسعة, that my earth is very, very spacious, فَإِيَّا فَعْبُدُونَ, so you should worship me. So here the background of this verse is that we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to migrate because of the persecution that was being done towards them. And they went to Abyssinia, and later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the command to migrate towards Madinatul Munawwara. So yeah, wherever the ulama explain that where a person finds it difficult to practice upon deen, and the kuffar are making it difficult for such people and persecuting them, to adapt the moment where a person cannot now expose Islam, neither they can, he cannot make amal on his Islam, then in that situation a person ought to now make hijrah. But that is for the sake of deen. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ardi wasiatun, that my earth is very, very vast, go and migrate for the sake of deen. And also look for conditions which are conducive for practicing of Islam. So make hijrah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a person might think there are two obstacles that prevent a person from hijrah. One is a person has fear that if he has to make hijrah, then the enemies will try to make impediments and cause him harm, and even worse, will try and kill him. And thereafter, the second fear that a person has is what he asks to his sustenance. That maybe a person is established over here, what is going to happen, I don't have rosy, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispels these two fears and tells insan, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, that O insan, every soul shall taste of death. Wherever you are, whether you're going to make hijrat or you're not going to make hijrat, whether you are at home, whether in a battlefield, wherever you are, death is destined for a person. The second thing is that the risk, look at the animals. وَكَأَيِّ مِنْ دَابَةٍ لَا تَحْمِنُ رِزْقًا, you will not find any animals except an ant and a rat. These are only two insects that stores its food because of certain reasons, for example, the cold of winter. But other than that, you will not find any other creature storing their food. Neither are they carrying the sustenance with them. So insan, do not worry. If it need me to make hijrat, then go and make that hijrat. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bottom of this page mentions, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَئِبْ وَإِنَّ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ لَيَا الْحَيَوَانِ, that O insan, understand that this worldly life is only play and amusement. Amusement and play. And the year after, that is the real life, if only you knew. So just like an example can be given, and normally children, even some adults play the game of Monopoly. In that Monopoly, some people now, they are taking chances, some people are buying big properties, some people are investing here, some people are putting hotels, some people are buying houses, some people are robbing the bank, some are going to jail, etc. But at the end of the game, now a small child can say, I got so much, so rich I am. But all that wealth can't even buy one box of matches. So now understand that if a person has all this wealth in this world, and he does not use it for his akhirat, he does not invest in the akhirat, then if Allah has to question him, what did you do with the wealth I gave you? Then he will say, oh Allah, I left all that wealth, send me back so I can bring this wealth. Allah will say, it is too late, it is impossible. So many persons use that wealth to build for his hereafter, like it was mentioned to Qarun, لا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك, that O Qarun, do not forget your share of the dunya of establishing your akhirat as well, and be good to those, be good like how Allah has been good to you. So this wealth is an amanat, and a person ought to use it. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned there are three portions to a person's wealth. One is that wealth, the food that person ate, consume, and that's it. Secondly is the clothes that a person wear, and he becomes worn out. And the third thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is that wealth which he sends towards the akhirat. And whatever he is left behind is for the inheritors. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, with Surah Ar-Rum, Allah mentions, Alif Lam Mim Ghulibat Ar-Rum, Alif Lam Mim Huruf Muqatta'at, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of these letters. غلبت روم, that Rome, the people of Rome, the Romans have been defeated. في أدنى الأرض هم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. But in a nearby city, very soon they will overpower the other people. And how long will that be? في بضع سنين, in a few years. يا نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم and الصحابة رضي الله عنهم were supportive of the Romans in a sense because these people were Christians. And there was more likelihood of them accepting Islam because they were more closer towards the deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, that come towards a kalima which is on equal ground, equal terms between us and you. On the other hand, the Persians were fire worshippers. So the mushrikeen of Mecca were backing the fire worshippers. So it so happened that the Romans, the fire worshippers overpowered the Romans. So they started now celebrating and saying, yes, that we are on haq, etc. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. So after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the verses of the Quran al-Kareem, that this also is a miracle of the Quran. It foretells incident that's going to take place. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a desert of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwara. He did not go to any college or university, but Allah has given him and gave him wahi and inspired him and to made that this is the tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem that we read till the day of Qiyamah. And it is mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the marketplace and told the mushrikeen, don't be too happy, because in 3 years' time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant his victory to the Romans over the Persians. So when he comes and he even takes a bet with Ubay bin Khalaf, the enemy of Islam, that over if I win, then I will give you, you will have to give me 10 camels. And if you win, I will give you 10 camels. Obviously, the verses of gambling was not revealed. So this was not permissible when the verses were revealed. Thereafter, Hazrat Abu Bakr comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informs him about this bet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that I didn't tell you in 3 years. The Quran says if you bid isilin. Ya bid isilin, ulama will explain if between 3 and 9. So yeah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, go and renew that bet. So he goes to Ubay bin Khalaf and tells him that I want to cancel the previous bet and I want to take a next bet that within a period of 9 years, the people will defeat the Persians. And not only 10 camels, I will prepare to give you 100 camels. So this person accepted. And now look at how people, how trustworthy they were. Even they were kuffar. It is mentioned that after the Battle of Badr, when the news came that the Romans were victorious and the Persians were defeated, Ubay bin Khalaf was not a Muslim. He fulfilled the covenant of his and he gave that 100 camels to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when he comes to those camels, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter told him that Abu Bakr, now the verse will reveal that this is not something permissible for us, rather give it in charity. So nevertheless, Allah mentioned bi nasrillah. This is to the victory of Allah, the help of Allah. Niyansuru man yasha wa wal azizur rahim. That this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants victory to whomsoever he wishes. Yeah, now the victory is also to the Muslims in two aspects. One is because that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that the prophecy and the foretelling of the Quran to be true. So it shows that the kuffar, he proved to the kuffar that what Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that the Romans will be victorious, has been true. Similarly, that the Romans and Persians were enemy to one another. So now their numbers are fighting one another. The numbers now has diminished. So now it makes it more easier for the Muslims to confront them in later on. So this is a victory, moral victory for the Muslims as well. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Although this refers to the kuffar, a person should look into himself, that the kuffar, they know the apparent things of this dunya. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. And they are unmindful of the akhirat. Like the poet says very beautifully, dunya ke andar tera akal kaha chala, that when in regards to this dunya, what has your brains achieved? Magar deen ke andar tera akal kaha mar gaya, but in regards to deen, where has your brains have died? And you don't apply your brains in regards to the akhirah. Where the kuffar, they use everything of whatever Allah has given them, the intelligence. Now a person also, unfortunately, Muslim, they say, oh, these people are going leaps and bounds. Look at technology, how they advanced when they are gone. But yet the Muslims should understand that a person, our focus should be the akhirah. that the shadow is like the dunya. If you got the asal, that is deen, then naturally the shadow will come with the person. From now till qiyam, if a person chases after his shadow, it will be impossible. Yeah, also a person should understand, if a person looks in the Quran, to the Quran, and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will understand, look at what is technology. Today technology, there are so many things that a person is creating, that is the kuffar. No doubt, we give them, wherever credit is due, we give them credit. But Ya Allah mentioned Zahiram, the Ya Nakira is mentioned, it means that only the tip of the iceberg have got. Ya Salurim Ayatina fil afaqi wa fi anfusim. We will show them more greater things in the heavens and in themselves. Only now they are now finding out certain things, and they are, and this also, when they make research, then we become attracted and we say, oh, what great research. But when the Quran mentions so many things, then we don't take any heed. Similarly, with regards to this also, today, as youngsters, today we get taken aback with regards to satellite, television, etc. Whereas without all this means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved it to us. For example, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on Miraj, when he came back from Miraj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed a whole picture of Masjid al-Aqsa before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any satellite. Today we are talking about speed. That the youngsters say, oh, so fast this car, so fast is this rocket. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the Buraq. And how fast every step, wherever he could see, was wherever the site terminated, that was its next step. Person looks and say that they went to the moon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never went to the moon. He went to the creator of the moon on Miraj. Similar with regards to the aeroplanes, people get taken aback. The other day we discussed on Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the platform of Sulaiman alayhi salam, 600,000 chairs, all the jinnat, all the Muslims on that, all the equipment, the birds giving shade upon them, etc. Similarly, with regards to a person gets enthralled with a telescope and with a microscope. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown Jannat and Jahannam, which is even vast, bigger than the entire world, on the Qibla wall. So these are the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many aspects can be. Today we get fascinated with regards to heart transplant. We pay 300,000-400,000. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not on one occasion, on four occasions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart was taken out and washed with zamzam, without any medical treatment, without any aesthetic, without any going to hospital, etc. So many things a person can pull out and look at the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't become taken aback with all these things around us. These are the things of the futility. And if a person uses things now, very good, nur nala nur, for example, he uses the internet for good things, that to make research or to go on certain websites and gain bayan, etc., download things. But on the other hand, if he uses things for all the wrong things, then this will be detrimental to him. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a certain verse of the Quran al-Kareem, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيَّ وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. This ayat is number 17, 18 and 19 of Surah Ar-Rum. And why I'm mentioning these verses, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whoever recites these three verses morning and evening, this is 17, 18 and 19 verse of Surah Ar-Rum, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ تِلْ لِأَنْ تَلْ وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, such a person will receive the reward of all his usual recitations, the wazifas that he may have omitted. Like how our Shaykh Zaman Barakatuh says, that the three last surahs, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ حَدْ قُلْ أَوْضُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ رَبِّ النَّاسِ, if a person recites it three times, then يَكْفِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ وَرْدٍ, that this will suffice for you as a complete wazifa. For example, sometimes normally a person has a full breakfast, and he has a good breakfast. But sometimes out now, because of necessity, he has to catch a flight, he got a business meeting, or he never slept very nice on the night before, mosquitoes are troubling, etc. Now he's tired, he doesn't want to read all his wazifas. So read all these last three quls, or read his last three ayats also. This will suffice for all the wazifas that you will omit during the day. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses after this, subhanallah, if a person only contemplates, wa min ayati, and what is ayat? Ayat is a sign. Like a person is asking for directions, a person tells him that go, and he draws out a direction for him on paper. Still the person doesn't understand. He said, okay, don't worry, I'll keep contact with you on the phone. Still the person doesn't understand. So many things the person, give him a GPS also. Still the person can't find his way. We'll say, what a foolish person that he can't find his way. Allah has not given us one ayat, He's given ayat. Over 6,000 verses of the Quran al-Kareem. And this is to connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll just mention one verse of Iyam where Allah mentioned an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja, that one of the signs of Allah, Allah has created spouses for you from your own selves. Why? What is the benefit? What is the benefit of getting married? Litaskunu ilayha, so that you can gain sukoon, contentment, can gain happiness. Person gets married, now he's got some life, he's looking forward to get children, etc. What a peaceful life. So this is the maqsad of getting a nikah. And thereafter, very important, Allah mentioned, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةَ وَرَحْمَةَ. Allah is the one who creates love and rahmah between the two spouses. Unfortunately, today, even good Muslim people in Muslim homes, and even give the blessings, both the grooms and the bride party, they let them see each other, let them meet each other, go out together, let them be find compatibility. Allah is mentioned, Allah is the one who creates the love. There is no need for courtship, etc., for courting, etc. Mala Yusuf Patel sir rahmatullahi mentioned, many a times those couples who go out courting, there is a lack of barakah in the marriage. So they go out courting, and many a times those marriages end up in court as well. Why? There is no barakah in such marriages. So in the beginning, mawadda, Allah creates mawadda, love between the two spouses. Why? Because the relation is based on lust, on love, etc. But when they become old, now their teeth has fallen out, now no one to look to at them, etc. Now old Baji, Baja, and now both of them, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates rahmat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates mercy between both of them. So these are the qudrat and signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Zahara fasaru fil barri wal bahri ma kasaba aydin nas, that corruption has spread in the earth and in the sea because of the actions of man. Why? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that Allah can make them taste of the actions of what they had done. Why? And what is the reason? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they can return to me. Today, this thing not a person says, these are natural occurrences, natural disasters, etc. But there is some cause and effect. The cause of it is our gunas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about this, whether it is earthquakes, whether it is tsunamis, gale force winds, whatever it may be, this is because of the actions of insan. And in another verse, Allah says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ, we will make them taste of a lesser azab. So this is also a rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like a wake-up call, like a slap from Allah. To wake up from your slumber, O insan, what is wrong with you? I have not sent you to enjoy this world. Turn towards me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that you can turn back towards me. Why? And Allah, look at His mercy. Allah has mentioned in another ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَقَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِيَ مِنْ دَابَةٍ وَلَاكِ يُؤَخِّرُ مِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Now look at the mercy of Allah. If Allah said, if He had to take everyone on account and take him to task for their sins, then no one will be left on this world. But Allah gives them respite. So this respite, this punishment which comes down to turn a person towards Allah, is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'fin, Allah has created your insan from weakness. When a child was born, he was not independent, he was dependent on his parents. Then after he became of such an age, summa ja'ala min ba'di du'fin quwwa, after some time, now when adolescence had passed, now he passed his childhood, now he becomes a youth full of vigor. Allah grants him strength. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفًا, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the strength, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about weakness again and old age. This is the cycle of life. Once I saw a diagram, and he explained from this diagram, this also can be a benefit to many of us, that of wheels. Then he said, like, life is a set of wheels. How is it? He said, when a child is born, now when he begins to walk, then he's given a walker, so that walker has wheels. Then he goes a bit bigger than the father, the Abba buys him a scooter that also got wheels. Then a tricycle, then a bicycle, then maybe a motorbike, all wheels. Then he comes into, and now he becomes big, a youth. Now he's got his license, his learners, etc. Now he wants a fast car. Now he becomes an entrepreneur. Now he wants a van, he wants a truck, etc. then Allah forbid, now a person becomes old age, now something happens to him, Allah forbid, Allah save us, now he sits in a wheelchair, or now people are pushing him, or he's got a walker, that also got wheels. Then after eventually he lands up in a hospital bed, that also got wheels. Then he lands up when he passes away, lands up in a hearse, that also got wheels. And even the kuffar, sometimes you see the coffins, their coffins got wheels, etc. So life is a whole set of wheels from beginning to end. So this life cycle will carry on. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the qissah of the Luqman alayhi salam. Surah Luqman, this is a surah which has many, many benefits and advices where Luqman alayhi salam. First and foremost, Luqman alayhi salam, who was he? The ulama explained that he was an Ethiopian slave. He was a carpenter by profession. But he had a lot of hikmah, where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتِينَ لُقْمَانَ hikmah, that we gave him deep understanding. Another meaning could mean that his actions had confirmed to his knowledge. And there are many, many lessons we learn from the story of Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam. One occasion, it is mentioned in Muwatta Imam Malik, that someone asked Luqman alayhi salam, how did you reach such a stage that Allah has given you wisdom, etc.? He said, because of three things. The firstly, when I speak, I only speak the truth. Secondly, that if I'm trusted with anything, then I return the trust. And third thing, that I stay away from all futile things, whether it is words or actions. I stay away from these three things, from these actions and words which are futile. Because of these three things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this hikmat. So Ya Allah gives this incident of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says that anishkur lillah, first and foremost make shukr. Why? وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ النَّفْسِ. Whoever makes shukr is for his own benefit. وَلَيْنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That when a person makes shukr, is grateful for the favors of Allah, Allah will increase his favors. So whose benefit it is? It is of our benefit. So shukr is something very, very important. Then he explains his son. And look how he addresses his son. He tells his son, Ya Bunay. He doesn't say, Oh my lighty, come here. Oh, youngster, come here. No, he tells him, Oh my son. Oh my beloved son. My piara son. Look, this also teaches us how a father should be affectionate to the children. And he says, La, the first thing, giving him the message of Tawheed, La tushrik billah. That do not ascribe partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instill in that child yaqeen of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is instill in the child the love for the parents. Understand, make them understand who is your parents. Like it is mentioned with regards to the mother, that weakness upon weakness, bearing the child in the womb of the mother for 2 years, she has to suckle the child. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anishkur li wa li walidik. First make shukr to me. I am the sabab hakiki. Allah is the one who brought you into from non-existence to existence. And thereafter, who was the means? It was your parents. So make shukr to them as well. To such an extent, the obedience to parents, Luqman alayhi salam tells his son, that even if our parents have to force you to make shirk and associate practice with Allah, then do not obey them. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey them. But in this world, even though they are kuffar, even mushrikeen, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. They associate with them, be good to them in this dunya. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that he instills yaqeen, tells his son, if even there is a mustard seed, whether it is in the darkness of the night, or under a certain rock, wherever it may be, everything will be come on a fort on the day of Qiyamah. Every action we do, it will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he brings aqim salah, establish salah, command good and forbid from evil, and wasbir ala ma asabak. This is an indication when you do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi al munkar, you will face hostility. People will tell you this, will pass remarks, sarcastic remarks. People will jeer you, etc. But wasbir ala ma asabak. But make sabr of the things that they tell you. Inna dhalik min azm al umur. This is the greatest form of resolution. Wa la tusair khadqa lin nas wa la tamshi fi adi maraha. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that do not turn your cheeks away from the people. In other words, do not have this attitude. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Sahaba said, whenever a person came in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not turn his face or his body until that person turned his attention away. So Nabi sallallahu gave his full attention to that person. Also, when a person made salam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not withdraw his hands until that person withdrew his hands first. وَلَا تَمْشِي بِلَادِ مَرَحَى. Here another advice, to not walk on this earth with boastfulness and with prying. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَقُورٍ. Allah does not like such people who are boastful and who are arrogant. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْرِكَ. And be moderate in your pace. On one occasion, as Aisha radiallahu anha saw a person was walking very slowly. So as Aisha radiallahu anha said, who is this person walking so slowly? She then the informer that this was a Qari, a very great alim of the time. So as Aisha radiallahu anha said, may Allah have mercy on Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. There was no greater alim than Umar radiallahu anhu, but he used to walk very, very swiftly. He did not have that pride or that boastfulness, I'm a great alim, a Qari. So yeah, also we should walk not too fast, not too slow, but in the moderate pace. Waqdud min sawtik, and lower your voice, don't raise your voice. Wa inna ankara al-aswat la sawt al-hamir, and the worst of voices are those of the donkeys. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Sajda that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they separate the sides from the beds, tatajafa junubhum an al-madaji, that they call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and in hope. And the span of that wealth that Allah has given them, on a day of Qiyamah, announcement will be made that where are those people who had forsaken their beds during the early part of the morning and they performed the Tahajjud Salah. Then a group of people will stand up and they will say, we are the ones. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that enter into Jannah without Hisab Kitab. So such people, the way they perform Tahajjud Salah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Da'bu Salihina Qablakum, it was the practice of the pious people before you. Wa qurbatul lakum ila rabbikum, it is a means of getting qurbat and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa mukaffaratun an sayyiat, it is a means of forgiveness of sins. Wa manhatun an ithmi, and it's also a means of a person staying away from gunas. Thereafter, lastly, with regards to Surah Al-Ahzab, time does not permit. There are so many incidents I mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab. Very briefly, yeah, what happened was the people of the Jews, the Bani Qurayza, Bani Nadir, Bani Qaynuka, and the Quraysh of Makkah, and the Bani Ghatfan tribe, so many tribes, Ahzab. Ahzab means groups. They all ganged up against the people of Medina, that is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum, only 3,000 in number, and these people numbered 12,000. And Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the idea, his opinion, to dig a trench. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it. And the trench was dug for 3.5 miles. For 6 days, continually they dug the trench. And it was five yards wide, five yards deep. And what was the condition of the Sahaba? They had boulders stuck to their bellies because of hunger. And yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed so many miracles. At the same time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 5 salah were made qadha because of engaging in battle. And yeah, miracles were displayed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came eventually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind. And this crippled them and caused dissension amongst their ranks. And this caused them to go away. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Muslims, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that هُنَالِكَ بْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. That before that their hearts even reached the throat. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ زُنُونَ, and they had harbored thoughts about Allah. In other words, the munafiqeen. But Allah says the true believers, they were tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, and they were shaken very severely. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted the believers. So yeah, we can see there are so many lessons to learn from Surah Al-Ahzab, that eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come with those on haq. And like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu made effort in digging the trenches, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave glad tidings when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also involved in digging the trench. And when the rock came in the way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself split the rock into three. And in there he saw sparks coming out. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, I can see in the sparks that the treasures of the Byzantine, of Yemen, of Persia and Roman coming into that position of the Muslims. The Munafiqeen thought to himself, what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about? Yeah, we are struggling to build this trench, and he's talking about Futuhat of other countries. But Allah, this true to the words and to the prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything materialized. So this a person should bring iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshaAllah.